This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, health insurance enrollment through the Affordable Care Act marketplaces is up 21% from a year ago. That number is likely higher as the final numbers aren't out yet. When he took office a year into the pandemic, President Biden enacted policies that would make it easier to sign up for health insurance through the ACA. For example, giving people more time to sign up. We're talking about this jump in ACA marketplace enrollment that happened this year and what it means, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Did you sign up for healthcare through the Affordable Care Act this year? Have you used this in the past? Did you use the extra time you had to make that sign up? Do you have questions about how it all works and who it serves? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Coleman Drake is an assistant professor in the Department of Health Policy and Management at the University of Pittsburgh, Graduate School of Public Health. Coleman, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Before we dig into these numbers, Coleman, can you remind us what this marketplace is and who it's intended to serve?
Sure. So we're talking about healthcare.gov. This is the health insurance marketplace created under the 2010 Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, commonly known as Obamacare. Now, that law had a lot of other important components to it, most notably the Medicaid expansion that has been adopted by most states. The Wisconsin is not one of them. But a big part of it also is healthcare.gov and these marketplaces that are used in other states, which now are a source of insurance for around 15 million people. About what has been 8 years since it was enacted at the start of 2014. And the idea here is to provide a internet platform where people can go to compare and shop for health insurance plans and, depending on their incomes, receive subsidies to purchase those health insurance plans.
What do you see driving this large number of enrollees, people who enrolled for coverage in 2022?
Well, I think there's really kind of five different factors, though they are all related to recent policy changes and the Biden administration's approach to the Affordable Care Act. First and foremost, I would say that the enhanced subsidies offered by the American Rescue Plan really made a difference. We went from a world where health insurance plans were deeply discounted for customers, but now we're in a world where not only are they deeply discounted for a lot of people, they are free or nearly free. Another big bit was that the Biden administration had a extended enrollment period that went on through much of 2021, providing an outlet for people that were having gaps in health insurance to sign up and receive coverage through the marketplaces. Let's see. I'd also point out open enrollment was extended into January. People are paying more attention to health insurance coverage, perhaps because of COVID. And the administration has just made a priority out of making people aware of their health insurance options through the marketplace and elsewhere. So we saw in the previous administration, there was sort of a substantial decrease in health insurance coverage programs when that administration took power. And then as the Biden administration has taken power and done a lot of outreach, enrollment has gone back up quite a bit. So number of related factors.
Big picture in this 8 years since the act came into place, this particular element of it, these marketplaces, how much of a difference have they made in the overall number of Americans who have some kind of health care coverage?
Yeah, so like I said, there's, and I think you said at the start of the program too, there's about 15 million people that are covered through the marketplaces right now. And I think the way to answer that question kind of in a contemporary and by contemporary, I mean post or intra-COVID setting, is that these marketplaces have provided a sort of cushion for a lot of people that perhaps had unstable access to health insurance as a result of the pandemic, and have also provided insurance to people that some that didn't have it and some that had insurance that might have not had as good of benefits as we would have seen prior to the Affordable Care Act. So every plan sold on the marketplaces has what's called essential health benefits, which means that you can expect them to cover things like preventive health services and visits to the hospital and substance use disorder treatment that wasn't always covered under older health insurance plans.
As you mentioned, the COVID pandemic led to some of these policy changes from the Biden administration and investments in a relief bill. Do you see just raising awareness of the need for healthcare being driven by this pandemic? Maybe that's an incentive for people who might have been on the fence earlier.
Yeah. So like you said, there's kind of these two interacting forces here, which one is just with the COVID pandemic being out there. It's kind of hard to validate this with research so far, but it stands to reason that a lot of people might have said to themselves, well, this might not be the best time to be going without health insurance. And that by itself could drive interest in health insurance options, including the marketplaces and Medicaid. But also, like you said, the administration had its extended open enrollment period last year as a result of the pandemic. So that certainly enabled some of those people that could have been searching for health insurance options to take advantage of them.
Talking to Coleman Trake, assistant professor in the Department of Health Policy and Management at the University of Pittsburgh's Graduate School of Public Health, looking at the Affordable Care Act and a jump in enrollments in the Affordable Care Act marketplace coming into 2022. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question about the marketplace and how it works. If you have an experience with it, for better or worse, let us know. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We heard from Diane in Emerald, who couldn't stay on the line, but she says she was on Obamacare for a short time. The coverage was fine, she says, but she came into some money mid-year that she wasn't expecting, so she wound up taking a tax hit at the end of it. Do things get complicated if our eligibility changes midway through a year, Coleman?
Yeah, so when one's income changes particularly significantly, that can affect the size of the subsidy that that someone receives. So, for example, let's see, if your income is below about 150% of the federal poverty level, about $18,000, you can sign up for kind of a standard plan on the marketplaces literally for free. But if your income were to double, it could cost a few hundred dollars a month, literally about around $200. So if someone does have a, you know, inheritance or something of the sort that comes halfway through the year, that could result in tax implications. Now, that being said, you can call up your health insurer and healthcare.gov if that kind of thing happens to you, and figure out what your adjusted premium is going to be at the time. If you don't do that, it will be reconciled on your taxes next year. But this also has an upside. If people experience a significant decrease in income during the year, their subsidy will increase, and they should take advantage of that. So this is, you know, the subsidies are very much dependent on income, and people should be cognizant.
One question at various points, especially the earlier years of the Affordable Care Act, was would people have options in different parts of the country to care plans under these marketplaces? There are concerns that, you know, this place might just have two options. This place might have one. Maybe there wouldn't even be one. How has that shaken out since that was, it seemed like a larger concern?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And, I've been knee deep in the research since the start. And it's just been such a turnaround. I remember 2015, 2017, mm-hmm. or not 2015 so much, but 2017, 18, and 19. You had a lot of particularly rural states to the west of Wisconsin, but even some parts of Wisconsin, I believe, that were, you only had a single insurer to choose from on the marketplaces. And that was particularly bad for people who whose incomes were above the subsidy cap. Now, that subsidy cap is gone, so not so much of an issue there. But also the issue is largely gone because insurers have been jumping into these marketplaces for the last couple of years to the point that they're in a lot of places more competitive now than they've ever been. The entire state of Nebraska now has four insurers competing in the marketplaces, and Wisconsin competition is up quite a bit as well. So really just a sea change there where this is just not a... not an issue that we're really seeing states very concerned about anymore.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Bill is with us in Madison. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi. So I was on Obamacare, for a couple of different years, which worked out fantastic for me because I was able to find a great plan. It had a 2000 max out of pocket. I have epilepsy. I have type 1 diabetes. So, okay, I had to pay a fair amount up front. But once I hit that with the pumps and everything, 100% coverage. Well, now I got on disability. I was automatically enrolled on Medicare. So instead of $8,000, which was pretty high, I paid $13,000 last year. Medicare this year just tripled my insulin cost. It won't let me get my seizure meds without a fight. Medicare, for all, is ridiculous. The Obamacare was just fantastic. I did have to pay a penalty briefly 1 year because I estimated my income incorrectly. But it was just fantastic for me.
Interesting. Bill, thanks so much for sharing that story. Sorry about those high costs, especially of the insulin material. Coleman, that's not how it's supposed to work in some ways, right? People, if they go from Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, sorry, to Medicare, do we expect them to take a hit like Bill is talking about?
Well, it depends. If you were getting a really beneficial, really generous plan through healthcare.gov, that is, it's really kind of hard to find insurance that's better than that, especially at the, you know, if you're making $15,000 a year, the type of the generosity of the health insurance coverage you can get on healthcare.gov is just fantastic. So I can absolutely, it's not surprising to me to hear that it transitioned from maybe one of those types of plans to Medicare could well result in more cost exposure.
Bill, thanks a lot for sharing your experience with us. Coleman Drake is with us, assistant professor in the Department of Health Policy and Management at the University of Pittsburgh. We're talking to him about the record number of signups in the last Affordable Care Act open enrollment period, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you signed up for insurance through healthcare.gov in the last year or the last few years? We want to hear from you. Why did you sign up? What do you like about it? What parts of it were more trouble for you maybe than you think they were worth? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about the increase in health insurance enrollments through government marketplaces in the last year. Coleman Drake is with us, assistant professor in the Department of Health Policy and Management at the University of Pittsburgh. You can join in with your questions, your thoughts, your experiences with the Affordable Care Act, especially these marketplaces. You can call in at 800-642-1234 if you have a healthcare.gov experience to share. That's 800-642-1234. Coleman, we heard from Sue in Little Hope, who asks, what is the cost of Obamacare to the taxpayer? How does it compare to the original estimates when it was first passed? Well, it's a massive question. What do we know about that, Coleman?
Yeah, sure thing. So let me try and answer this. So this is a kind of, you could have a very long conversation on
right.
The subject. So the original Affordable Care Act came in, I believe, around, it was passed in 2010. Estimates were around $1 trillion for the past decade. That being said, there was a lot else going on in there besides the marketplaces. Mm-hmm. Again, Medicaid expansion, various kinds of changes to payment models, things like that. So what we're looking at essentially going forward, and I think the relevant number kind of for budgetary discussions is the Biden administration is facing this decision along with Congress to extend the additional subsidies associated with the American Rescue Plan. And the Congressional Budget Office has estimated that the cost of doing that for this decade is going to be $74 billion or $7.4 billion per year. So that's the overall cost. When I bring up those numbers, I like to mention to people that the kind of frame of comparison is employer-sponsored insurance. One could do a comparison to Medicaid, but Medicaid insurers get paid a lot less than the marketplace or the employer-sponsored insurance insurers do. So broadly speaking, marketplace insurance is roughly as expensive to provide as giving a person insurance through their job. And the reason for that is that in the marketplaces, you get a subsidy to purchase health insurance. And if your employer provides you health insurance, they provide you with, rather, they get a tax exclusion to provide health insurance to you. So to elaborate on that a little bit, if you're paid a dollar by your employer, you might only see about 80 cents of that in wages, depending on where you sit with your tax rate. But if they spend a dollar on your health insurance, they will spend literally, you will get a dollar of it because that's entirely tax exempt. So as a result of this setup, providing health insurance through employers ends up being very costly for the federal government. In fact, it's the single biggest line item in the federal budget. So to be, I guess, to wrap that up and to summarize, providing insurance through healthcare.gov or the marketplaces per person is roughly around as expensive as what we're dealing with to provide insurance to people through how we most commonly do for non-elderly adults, employer-sponsored insurance.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234. Kent is with us in Monona. Kent, hi.
Hey, Rob. I just wanted to share that a couple years ago, I had to have a surgery. It was a minor surgery, and had every complication in the book from it. I was unable to work for the last couple of years between that and the pandemic, and the marketplace really got me a really good insurance plan. I had 9 surgeries over the last 2 years to fix the issues, and I would be in the hole about $200,000 right now if it wasn't for the marketplace, which had, I got a $3,000 out-of-pocket max, and then everything else was 100% covered. And when the rescue plan kicked in, I actually got a credit back to me for the subsidies and whatnot.
Kent, thanks for sharing that story. Sorry about the what sounds like a medical nightmare. I'm glad it wasn't also a financial nightmare for you. Coleman, Kent's story is one of the goals of the Affordable Care Act in the first place, right? Making sure that a situation where somebody has to have, as in Kent's case, lots of surgeries doesn't end up financially ruined for life afterward.
Yeah, I think that absolutely. I'm glad to hear it worked out so well for Kent, at least on the financial side.
Right.
The context of the passage of the Affordable Care Act was very much the financial crisis, now over a decade behind us. But you might remember uninsured rates were approaching 20% at a time when many families were experiencing other financial hardships to boot. And I remember a speech I heard Rep. John Yarmuth from Kentucky talking about, we saw those uninsured rates creeping up and we felt we needed to do something about it. So the impetus was very much to try and provide people with a source of health insurance that they could rely on, even if they were experiencing some either coming down with some health conditions that or uncertainty in their labor market and what's going on with their jobs, but also to provide health insurance to people who maybe didn't work for a large employer or didn't have or just weren't getting a good offer of health insurance from their employer. So they could still have access to subsidized health insurance in a similar way to people who get insurance through their employer, but to be able to not have to deal with job-related uncertainty or just jobs that don't provide access to health insurance. So, yeah, I think that's exactly how the law was supposed to work.
Thanks again for calling in, Kent. We're talking to Coleman Drake from the University of Pittsburgh, expert on health policy, looking at the Affordable Care Act. Coleman, there have been some kind of up and down all or nothing debates on the Affordable Care Act, efforts to repeal it a few years back. You've written about some changes, some tweaks you'd like to see to the Affordable Care Act over the last few years. What kind of things are top of mind for you?
Well, I think the biggest thing by far right now is the continuation of the subsidies from the American Rescue Plan. I think shortly after the law went into effect, it became clear that the subsidies needed to be a bit larger to really provide the kind of access that the framers of the law were hoping for. And that's been affected under the American Rescue Plan. So I like to see how affordable things are right now, and I'd like to see that continue. Sure. Pausing for a moment here. I'd like to see that continue. And the other concern with now that these subsidies have been temporarily implemented is that if they aren't extended, people could then see their premiums revert to what they were prior to the American Rescue Plan. And that could put people in an unfortunate situation where this time next year, they're seeing that their health insurance premiums have increased substantially. And that could be particularly problematic for people that have $0 premiums right now, who don't have to do anything month to month to keep their health insurance. They would then need to go back online and set up a recurring credit card payment or send checks in the mail on a monthly basis. And I'd be worried that people might not be aware that that change is coming and could end up being uninsured. So by far and above, that's what I'd like to see change with the law. The other thing I think is that there was a really successful policy in Massachusetts back when they had their kind of precursor to the Affordable Care Act, which has been dubbed Romney Care because Mitt Romney was the governor when that law was passed. And what they did was they changed things. So when people didn't meet their monthly payment a few months in a row, just forgot or were having difficulties getting the payment out or whatever, rather than make the person lose their insurance and become uninsured, they were automatically switched to a plan with a $0 premium. And what that accomplished is maybe their coverage generosity went down, but then they weren't completely, they didn't go from being generously insured to completely uninsured overnight. And I think I'd like to see some changes affected to that extent in the marketplaces as well. It was very successful at keeping people insured.
Coleman, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Coleman Drake is an assistant professor in the Department of Health, Policy, and Management at the University of Pittsburgh's Graduate School of Public Health. He talked to us today about an increase in enrollment for coverage under the Affordable Care Act marketplace, a record coming into 2022. Still time for you to share your experiences. If you've looked at getting coverage at healthcare.gov, did you end up getting it? What steered you away from it if you didn't? What was your experience like under that kind of coverage? Are you one of the people who joined up maybe for the first time coming into this year? You can email ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.